and being a part of the body of Christ, there's responsibility within that. Part of any family creates a sense or the need for responsibility. And part of the responsibility that you and I, that we need to steward, is the gifts that God gives us. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says what? What does it tell us? That each has a gift, that each of us has received a gift. We're supposed to minister it one to another. If you're born again, guess what? Surprise! This may be news to you. You have a gift. Woo! I'm the only one who's happy about that. You have a gift. So here's the thing. Now, remember, within that verse, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it tells us that we're supposed to minister it one to another. That we're supposed to minister that gift one to another. Amen? So, what we want to do is make sure that we're being responsible with those gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is kind of one of the main go-tos. Remember, we've been talking about utilizing things that God has given us. Utilizing things that God has given us. One of the things we talked about for the last couple weeks is that God has given us finances. He's also given us things like influence. And we need to steward those things or use those things to do what God wants to do with them. And part of what God is trying to do in you and me is he's trying to develop people who trust him. And because they trust him, they can be generous. They can use what they have generously. God wants to create a generous people. So as God has given you gifts, you need to be understanding that he wants you to be generous with those gifts. Amen? Few just verses I'm just going to read to give us some context is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you might have been led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Paul's telling us here, there's not just one gift. I've been in fellowships. I've been in churches where there's kind of one gift that's sort of seen as the gift, one gift that's seen as the opportunity, one gift that's seen as the gift from the Lord. There's not one gift. There's varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So one of the things that we've seen here is that, man, there's not just one gift, there's multiple. But not only is there multiple gifts, but they're supposed to be used in harmony. They're not supposed to be used to fight against each other. They're supposed to be used in harmony. A chapter or so later, Paul makes the point about how this is kind of supposed to look in a church setting. When we come together as a body, he says, what then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, as we heard this morning, or an interpretation, as we heard this morning. That as we come together, we should expect that there's going to be times when you're going to have something to bring. Why? Because you're gifted. Now, we're going to spend a couple, 4 or 5 weeks going over just sort of an overview of the gifts because we want you to get an understanding because I believe where there is education, that creates expectation. Are you with me? Where there's education, where you understand what God is asking of you, that then there can be an expectation of what you can do for him. Amen? Now, I mean, let me give you an example. One of the things that I kind of get a kick out of, I don't know why, is to sit back in a church setting and because I understand what Scripture says, I understand what I expect from a church meeting, it's kind of fun for me to watch when someone speaks out in the congregation in tongues. Why is that fun for me? Because it's fun to watch the reaction. About half the people go like this. Oh, yes, Lord. And the other half of the people, what do they do? I call it white knuckle time. What's going on? I've shared with you guys, and it's, you know, it's kind of a funny story. I'm pretty well been healed from it. But when I decided that it was time to get things shaken up in my house, it was time to start to use the spiritual gifts in my family, because I can't come to church and expect people to do it if I'm not going to have it in my family. And so I decided I'm going to speak in tongues during family devotions tonight. I've been fairly healed by it at this point. And you know, it was, I think, my children are so spiritual. Thank you, Jesus. My children are so in tune with the Spirit that clearly they're just going to understand what's going on here. And intuitively, because they are bone of my bone and blood of my blood, they're just going to link right in with this. So,
in defense, I was seven.
Look, who's telling the story? Okay. So I, you know, being the God I am, I decided to speak in tongues at family devotions. And I spoke, And these little flippin' rapscallions, dude, they start laughing. They start laughing at me. And they, and my dad, or I think, it doesn't matter which one of them. Anyways, the point is it was less than a stellar moment in the history of Clifford Family Devotions. But sometimes we have to have the opportunity to kind of let those things become normalized. Here's the point I'm trying to make. When I stepped out in my own house to start to show my kids what some of these gifts looks like, it wasn't immediately received as normal. Very much the opposite. But the thing is that's neat is over time, the gift of tongues is something that we use on a regular basis in our household. The gift of prophecy is something we use on a regular basis in our household. The gift of healing is something we use on a regular basis in our household. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, these are things we've normalized. Now here's the thing, we've done the same thing in the body of Christ. And I don't want you to freak out. Here's the deal. If you have to laugh, I've been there. I'm not going to be offended. But give it a chance to see what the Lord wants to do. Amen? So this morning, what we're going to do, the first place we're going to kind of go as we sort of talk about these gifts, as we sort of talk about the spiritual gifts that we have here is we're actually going to take a look at the Old Testament. Because I feel like there's some gifts that are clearly and obviously through the Bible seen as spiritual gifts. And there's other gifts that we kind of look at and say, oh, well, that's just a natural inclination. That's just something where you just have a bit of an inclination for that. And when we do that, we don't develop those gifts in the same way or hold those gifts as sacred in the same way as we would a quote-unquote spiritual gift. Do you understand what I mean? Here's a question I have for you. Is being a musician a spiritual gift? Okay, let me back up a little more. Is being in All Black a spiritual gift? Clearly not after last night. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Okay, somebody's tracking with me. The idea, like if somebody has physical attributes that cause them to be supernatural, beyond, and if you probably grew up around people like that. They were just a bit more than you. A bit more than me. Is that a spiritual gift? Worth contemplating. That gift be used to the glory of God. Anybody know Michael Jones? Amen. Now, let me ask the question again. Is being a gifted musician a spiritual gift? Can it be used to the glory of God? Can it be used not to the glory of God? Amen. Enter Led Zeppelin joke here. Okay. How about being a skilled carpenter? Do we have a biblical foundation for this? I'm not asking your opinion. I want to know, what does the Bible say? Could you be a skilled carpenter and be a spiritual gift? Okay. What about a skilled seamstress? Seamster. What's the male equivalent? Seamster? Taylor. Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah. What about being really good, like, office assistant or administrator? So that's the question. Now here's the thing. And so this is what we're going to sort of look at a little bit. Because, guys, I want you to understand is the Bible doesn't make the same distinctions sacred and secular that we do. Are you with me? We take things and we say, oh, I just happen to be a good drawer. You know, that's not really a spiritual gift. I don't know. I just happen to be a good seamster, tailor. I don't know if that's a spiritual gift. I just happen to have a 4-octave late range like Leone. I don't. I wish I did. But that's not a spiritual gift. Guys, I kind of think they are. So in the Old Testament, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this, there's a place in Exodus verse 28, or chapter 28, where the Lord makes a statement as he's telling the children of Israel how he's going to develop his house of worship. How he wants to not only have a house of worship, but how he wants to adorn and fill that house. Amen? And at one point in Exodus chapter 28, verse 2, he says, "And you shall make holy garments for Aaron." He says, "You shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. You shall speak to all the skillful whom I have filled with spirit of skill, that they make Aaron garments to consecrate him for my priesthood." It says, you're going to make holy garments for Aaron. And these garments are going to be for glory and for beauty. And they're going to be made by people who have, it says here, a spirit of skill. A spirit of skill upon them. Now, all these people are asked, all the lowly, secular work these people are being asked to do is make clothes. And they could maybe say, well, I'm not being asked to preach. I'm not being asked to facilitate the sacrifices in the temple. I'm not being asked to be part of the worship chorus in the temple. I'm making clothes. But the Bible says that these people were filled with a spirit of skill. And I suggest to you that this is a spiritual gift. Now you say, well, Scott, that's the Old Testament. Okay, so if under that covenant that the Bible says was actually an inferior covenant, how much more so is God going to pour out his spirit upon people and gift people and give people a gift? If you're a gifted banker, is that something that can be used for the Lord? Yeah. If you can kick a ball to the uprights, get on the team before the World Cup. You know what I'm saying? So what we're going to do here over the next couple weeks is we're going to talk about things. But what I want to do is I want to bring in people who have skill in some of these areas. And we're just going to have a few questions for them. And we're just going to kind of interview them and just hear what they have to say about these different gifts. So we're just going to pump the brakes real quick. So what I want to do real quick is we're going to transition here. So stand up and just mingle amongst yourself. Maybe ask the person next to you if there is a difference between the sacred and the secular, if some of these things are spiritual gifts or they're not, and just dialogue about that. Just real quick. Just say howdy. Or you can find out about their week and just find out, is there a difference between the sacred and the secular? Are all these things holy or just some of them? All righty, real quick. So once again, we're talking about what I think I would, there's places we're going to go within this where we're going to talk a lot about some of the clear New Testament spiritual gifts, those gifts that are listed out in the New Testament. But today, I just thought it would be good to chat. Me and Inesu, we're going to talk a little bit about some of those gifts that maybe aren't as clear and obvious within the Bible. And so just, I got a few questions that I'm going to ask him. Inesu's someone that I find to have a lot of inherent gifts, you know? And so I thought he'd be a perfect person to talk about these creative gifts. So first question, Inesu. First of all, welcome, man.
Hello. It's good to be here.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
It's a strong voice.
You feeling good today?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good, actually.
Sweet.
It's good to be
here. You
guys
sounded
house.
Good this morning, bro. Oh. So first question, is there a biblical perspective on creative gifts? In other words, these gifts that maybe we don't see obviously listed, is there a biblical place that we can find those?
Definitely. Yeah, I'll agree 100%. Just with some of the scriptures that you were sharing before, and I mean, if you open the first page of the Bible, God is a creator. Yeah. And he created the heavens and the earth, and it's in his DNA. It's the very core of who God is. And since we are made in his image, then every single one of us has creativity in us to some extent. And so it's definitely God-breathed and God-ordained for us to be creatives.
So because of that being created in the image of God, you believe, you made a point that every one of us has some degree of creativity within us.
Yeah.
Even though there's people who say, oh, I'm not creative.
Yeah.
Like, should I ask for a show of hands who thinks they're creative and who doesn't? Yeah, okay, who thinks they're creative? Okay, every hand should go up because you are created in the image. Even if it was just a matter of putting on your clothes today, you were being creative, amen?
I mean, one of the first creative tasks that Adam was given was to name the animals in the garden.
Hey.
That's very creative.
That's true.
And he named all the animals and all the birdstock and the beast, apparently. Well, according to the Bible, not apparently, according to the Bible.
Well, we were talking about, you know, making garments and you know, even being creative in the way we put on garments. Today, I walked in this morning in a great mood, and I asked Inesu, I said, hey, bro, what does it feel like to be the second best dressed man in Ascend Church? And he goes, I don't know. What does it feel like? I didn't see it coming at all. I showed up in a great mood, and I was like, wow. I got thrown. What were we talking about again? Oh, so if we have these creatives, and we're created in the image of God, and if we're creative people, it's in his DNA, it's in our DNA, do you think that creative gifts, quote unquote, differ from spiritual gifts?
No. Okay. No. Like I said before, they're God-breathed, and they're God intended for us to be creators and to have those gifts within us. Like, if you look in the Bible, there is one of my favorite like parts to read is the whole thing about the tabernacle and how incredible that was. And you find that whenever God gave people these assignments, even with the ark, he assured them that I will give you people with creative skills
to help you create.
Yeah, gifted creative skills to help you complete this task. So I've got a verse here, in Exodus 35, which I love. And this gives you an idea of the variety of gifts that, that you mentioned before. So it says, all who are gifted artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle, its tent, its covering, its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, and its sockets. It's talking about builders right there. All right, that's another creative gift. The ark and its poles, the mercy seat and the veil of the covering and the table and its poles, all its utensils, interior designers, right? And the showbread chefs. Also, the lampstand for the light, the utensils, its lamps, the oil for the light, the incense altar, its poles, etc. It's talking about, where you go, those people that make nice smelling stuff, aroma. Yeah, that, yeah. See, that's a creative gift in itself, right?
Aromatherapy? No, that's not the word.
Is it?
It's more like
aroma. Aroma.
Incensologist.
Aromacologist. Ecologist? I don't know.
Perfumers?
I should have Googled this before.
Perfumers. That's the Bible speaks of that. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're saying there's, okay.
Yeah.
Go on.
And
so far the list we've had builders, interior designers,
we've got chefs.
Chefs, aroma smelly people.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then list goes on. And then at the end of that it says, where are we? The garments of ministry. For ministering in the holy place,
seamsters.
The holy garments for Aaron, the priest of the garments of his sons, to minister as priests, seamstresses.
Yeah.
So not in that does it even just go straight to when we think, oh, music or somebody who does art. You know, this is all examples clearly.
And so,
creative gifts.
Whenever God builds something, He gifts people at every place to do it.
Exactly.
Okay. So I guess that lead-on question that is, do you think? That so you said these gifts are not different. There's no difference between like what we'd call creative gifts or artisanal gifts and spiritual gifts. So do you think they're developed differently in the body of Christ? Like when we take those gifts that we see as more natural. Like if somebody's a good baker, we say, oh, they just have a natural proclivity towards that. Yet if somebody's like a good preacher, we're like, oh, dude, they're spiritually gifted. Like, so are they developed differently?
You find there's some kind of consistency in how to develop something. You know, firstly, you've got to discover your gift. You've got to figure out what that is and recognize it. And I think you see people that either if they're a good baker or they're a good writer, a lot of time and investment has actually gone behind that.
Mean they don't just come out of the gate?
You've actually got to put some time and effort into investing into that gift, whatever that might be. So I think they're definitely not developed the same, but some people are graced in different areas, and that's the beauty about the body of Christ. You know, Romans 12:6 says, having then gifts that are differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So if prophecy is one of them, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. So faith being a key word there as well. You know, you've actually got to have that faith as you practice that gift.
So the interesting point there. So those gifts, they're not just thrust upon you. You're not just taken hostage by the Holy Spirit and made to use your gift.
No.
So you have to actually step out in faith and then, as you say, begin to sort of develop that gift.
Yeah. Okay. Like this morning was a clear example of that. Every single person that said something or spoke in tongues or came up in, that was a step of faith.
Yeah.
So you can have the gifts and just sit there with them and do nothing, but they're not going to be activated until you actually
choose
to do it, and that's faith. Yeah.
Okay, so for yourself, we talk about developing spiritual gifts. Like I would say that there's many that I see here and we've seen displayed over the last few weeks who have tremendous gifts in worship and in song. Did you just sort of wake up one day and you maybe had a dream one night and the Holy Spirit like shook pixie dust upon you and you woke up and you could play the guitar and sing and whatnot? That just happened one night and the next day you were up in the front doing worship?
Not at all.
No.
Believe it or not, actually growing up, I hated music. Yeah. Even in school, like I dreaded music classes. I used to try get away from music classes because I didn't think I could do it. Like it was just, just a little personal note here. It's like, from where I'm from Zimbabwe, by the way. In that kind of culture, music is one of those, like, it's not a recognized or a celebrated type thing. So being a musician, it's not really, you haven't made it, really. So it's kind of, So not because I wanted to be something else. It was just like, And no one in my family was actually musical. So I didn't grow up around music. I mean, we played music, but no instruments as such, or no singing whatsoever.
So it's not like it just didn't come immediately to you. You had to actually invest in the process to get to the point where you are even today.
Yeah, I mean, it took people around me. The first person that actually thought I might have something was actually my music teacher. So she gave me a guitar just to keep me in the class and keep me occupied. So I was like, well, I better do this thing for the next 2 years because it was compulsory, and then I'll play the guitar and that'll make time go faster and then I can get out of this class. So that's exactly what I did. And then somebody from church one of the teachers from my school went to the same church that I went to, and she was like, or he was like, yep, there's something in there, guy.
So I was going to ask you, like, when did you discover your gift and how did you sort of develop it? But you've kind of brought that. But I guess you're saying part of the key component to that was people who were willing to kind of journey with you in developing that creative gift. And one, you took the time to develop it, but there's also people around you who encouraged you and gave you opportunity.
Yeah.
I know. Okay, so any closing comments or anything with regard to...
No, I don't know. Any other questions?
Should we just take one or two questions? On this subject, don't ask me how many angels can fit on a pinhead, 5,276. But if you have a question on this subject, anybody out there just want some clarity?
Sorry, one more thing that I was thinking. as I read the Bible, it's... God, the Holy Spirit always illuminates creativity for me. And I think I see this theme where it's sort of displayed in three things, actually. For me, it's mainly three things, definitely more. But I see a lot of craftsmanship right through. And then in music. And then I would also say even in the way the Bible's written.
Yeah.
Right? So you think about craftsmanship, and there's another verse in Exodus where it actually, he says, one of the first things that God says to Moses is, I've given you
Bezalel.
Yeah. And the first thing it says, I've given him the Spirit of God. Right? And then I've given
him... So Bezalel was a craftsman who was supposed to sort of oversee the whole building project.
Yeah. And he said, I've given him the Spirit of God. Then the second thing, I've given wisdom and understanding and the knowledge of all craftsmanship or workmanship, right? So then it goes on to list the things that he's going to do. You know, he specializes in working with gold, silver, bronze, etc., etc., etc. So the key thing there is I've given him the Spirit of God. So he's been filled with that Spirit, and therefore we've been given that Spirit. So everything that we do is a spiritual gift.
It's right? Funny because in the next verse after that it says, and I've given him people around him.
People, yeah.
So in other words, exactly. He's not only given him the Spirit and the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding, but he's given him people as well to accomplish that task.
Yeah.
So that's to me. So anything out there that's come up just by way of questions or anything?
Oh, no. It's Jeremy.
Jeremy? Oh. Yes. Jeremy.
Yeah, you can tell when somebody is doing everything out of their own knowledge and their own strength, and it's really important. I mean, that's why, as a worship team, that's why we pray together, and you know, study the Word together, etc., and take communion together. It's really important for that spiritual aspect to be part of everything that you do. You see people when they do creative dances or creative arts, you can actually, it doesn't take much just to sit back and just go, okay, the anointing of God is upon that person. Mm. But because they've applied both the spiritual element to it and also the practical element to it. So you can be spirit, which is absolutely fine, but if you haven't applied the practical, if you haven't sung a note in your life, you can't sort of expect to sound like Leone. You know what I mean? Like, so it's got to come up with like both, yeah. Does that answer your question?
So stepping off from there, okay, that's great. We take communion together. We pray together on a Sunday morning because we're bringing something that's sacred to the Lord on the Sunday morning. But what happens when we walk out that door, go to sleep, wake up on Monday morning, and go out to work? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, have we ever, do we now enter into the secular phase of our life and not consider the spiritual implications? I guess the point I'm trying to make is fine now. Should we be praying and taking communion and seeking the Lord as we go to work on Monday morning? Yeah. And here's the thing. Do you think if you are operating as a gifted person that that's going to enhance and prosper you? In your life? Yeah, it is. Hey, thanks, man. That was awesome, bro. I appreciate it. Alrighty, so look, what we're going to do is we're just going to worship. And my heart through these next couple weeks is to challenge. And what do I, you know, here's the thing, oh great, you know. I was chatting to one of my kids this week about a situation they had gone through in their early teenage years where I had really, I had to challenge them a bit to get involved in some things. I had to challenge them to step out in some areas and hug their feet a little bit. But ultimately, they acquiesced and they got involved in this area. And they ended up really enjoying it. And it actually did some things to really form this child in some pretty important ways in their life. And I think sometimes that father heart of God recognizes that we need to be challenged, recognizes that we need to step out in an area sometimes. And so today, remember, Anesu made that point, that very important point, that anyone who's going to operate in any area of spiritual gifting is going to do so by faith. Faith is the currency of heaven, guys. Faith is the currency of heaven. So if you're maybe struggling in that area today, a couple things. If you want to know, hey, man, I'm not sure what my gifts are, let us pray for you. Let us prophesy over you. If you say, you know, I know what my gifts are, but I'm struggling to step out in them, let us, do you know how many, there's so many times in the New Testament where people pray for boldness. Why do you think that is? Maybe because they're being a little timid. So if you need that, you know, I've always said, we're talking about, in this season, we're talking about tapping the source. Amen? We don't ask you, we're not requiring you. The Bible doesn't tell you to conjure up the power to use your gifts. The Bible says, plug into the source that's already there and just be a conduit for it. Amen? So this morning, Father God, I pray the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of understanding upon all of us who are made in your image of a creator God. All of us who are made in your image as one who desires to create things for glory and for beauty. And Father God, that we would be used to beautify the world around us, Lord. Lord, you are an extravagant God. You are a wonderful God. You are a providing God, Lord. And we want to be those people who simply tap into the source and utilize the power that you give us in Jesus' name.